Hello, and welcome to Shhh Productions Vintage Radio Hour, a collaboration of over 150 performers and technicians representing 16 states, Canada, and the UK. We endeavor to reach across the country and beyond, sharing the powerful and time-honored gift of storytelling using vintage tales, tools of the 21st century, and voices that reflect us all. This project will continue to offer a creative sanctuary for all facets of the creative relationship. Actors and technicians from all walks of life will continue to practice and hone their craft in collaboration with fellow creatives from across the globe. Audiences will be entertained by stories that transport them to another era and keep the art of radio theater thriving. This, our fourth season, has a decided Valentine's Day theme, with six shows ranging from comic strip sitcoms to tongue-in-cheek radio noir, and a lot of swell stuff in between. So please, catch our shows here on WCBE's podcast experience, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Again, this is the Shhh Productions Vintage Radio Hour. Now sit back, enjoy, and shhh.
Good evening, and welcome to Season 4 of Shhh Productions Vintage Radio Hour, sponsored in part by our friends at Dutch Creek Winery. Our collaboration, now grown to over 150 fantastic performers and technicians from across the country, Canada, and the UK, revisits the legacy of audio entertainment that harkens back to the golden days of radio to bring you a Valentine's-themed collection of six shows filled with laughs, suspense, fear, and maybe a little romance. The upcoming show, Love Spelled Backwards, written by Marianne Turk and originally airing in 1980, with Vincent Price and Cicely Tyson as the hosts and announcers, features Chiquita Mullins-Lee, Tony Roseborough, Ben Gorman, Thea Stephan, Mark Beauchamp, Nick Martin, Vinnie Mason, Chip Barr, Benjamin Maurer, and Carter Crosby in a love story gone wrong. Dramatically, disturbingly wrong. Now, shh.
It made the headlines, of course. Wife killer pleads for death. Ludlow Case, a nice guy who before the tragedy had done nothing more violent than crush an ice cube, had killed his wife, choking her to death. It made the news. Ludlow Case, confessed murderer, goes berserk in court, hysterically demanding his own execution.
I don't want to die. I want to die because I deserve to die. She was a good woman.
There was bedlam in the courtroom until deputies managed to grab Ludlow Case and restrain him. Ludlow sobbed pitifully and mumbled that his wife was a good woman, repeating it over and over, crying that he loved her and she loved him. But he killed her and wanted to die. Well, Ludlow got his wish, the death penalty. It was over. The defense lawyer went ahead with the usual appeals, but as far as the public was concerned, the case was closed. The execution would be covered, of course, but it would be routine. And then, 3 days before he was scheduled to die, the man who had begged for the electric chair asked to see his lawyer. It was urgent. He had to see his lawyer right away. Attorney James Holliday could not comply with Ludlow Case's demand that he see him right away. Holliday was in trial, defending some other poor soul, but he made it to the death row cell that evening.
Hi, Lud. You okay?
Well, about time. So you finally got here.
What's the problem, Lud?
Problem? I'm sitting here on death row. Is that problem enough? In a few stinking hours, they're going to march me down that hall, strap me into that chair, and...
You think I don't care? I did my damnedest, you know that. You only got yourself to blame. All you did was scream that you were guilty, that you wanted to die.
I changed my mind.
Well, how come? Why the turnabout?
I got reasons.
It's a little late for that.
You gotta help me. I can't die now. I gotta live. I gotta live as long as possible.
Well, all I can do now is try for commutation to life.
That's it. Do it. Get me life. Life!
All right. But I can't go in empty-handed. I've got to have something to present. Some new evidence or at least some extenuating circumstances. You never even told me why you killed your wife.
I'm no monster. Just because I look big and tough doesn't mean anything. Inside, I'm a marshmallow.
So what happened?
She was a good woman.
Lud, try to understand. You'll have to give me something to work with here.
In all the time we were married, she never yelled or screamed or cussed me out. I'd get uptight, but she'd stay cool. Cool, calm, and chock full of love.
Well, a minute ago, you were fighting mad. Now you're going dreamy on me again. I've heard all this stuff, you know. 100 times I've heard it. She was the perfect wife, the greatest housekeeper, the most fantastic cook.
Her souffle never fell. I mean, never.
Okay. Well, she was too good to be true. So why did you kill her?
She loved me. Go figure, women. I never thought I had a chance with her. I'm just a slob. But she loved me.
We're not getting anywhere, Lud.
She did everything for me. Bought all my clothes, laid them out for me in the morning, got up early to fix my breakfast.
So?
Her name was Evol, you know?
Yes, it's an odd name.
Well, don't you get it? E-V-O-L. Love, spelled backwards.
Oh.
When Evol was 12, her father killed himself.
You never told me that.
Nobody could understand why. He seemed to have everything, especially the perfect wife.
Well, go on.
One day he came home from work, drove the car into the garage, left the motor running, and...
Oh, good Lord.
Every night when I drove home from work, I'd think about him. I put the car in the garage and sit there for a while. But I never had the guts to go through with it. So I'd steel myself, because I knew she'd be there waiting with a great big smile. Was your day full of love? She'd ask.
Cute.
I thought so too, at first. And I'd answer her, well, not exactly, but the night's going to be. And I'd take her in my arms and... She was all round and soft, like a rag doll is.
Lud.
Like I said, at the beginning, I never thought I had a chance with her. It didn't enter my mind to ask her to the senior prom. I went stag with Brad and 2 other guys, and she was there with Willie Pomeroy. She was all rosy pink and white in a fluffy kind of dress. She looked good enough to eat. I couldn't keep my eyes off her. But I'd never have had the nerve to ask her to dance. And then, towards the end of the evening, she walked right up to me.
Hello, Ludlow.
Hi.
Aren't you ever going to ask me to dance?
Who, me?
Ludlow Case, don't you like me, even a little?
Well, gee, sure, you really want to dance with me?
Silly, come on. You're a very good dancer.
Who, me?
Who, me? Is that all you can say?
Who, me? Sorry, I guess I'm just kind of...
Surprised?
Yeah.
I've been admiring you for a long time.
Me? You have?
You're so... So strong, and yet so, well, kind of tender. And you're not all full of your own importance.
I guess that's because I'm not important.
Not important? When you're just about the best player on the football team? You should have been captain instead of that stupid Jess Palance.
You really think so?
You can run rings around any fella in school. Why, you got Pat and Jerry to stop fighting last week.
Oh, well, all I did was bump their heads together and got them talking instead of punching.
All you did? You're so modest. You should toot your own horn more. No, never mind. I'll toot it for you.
You want to know something?
What?
I almost flunked English Lit because of you.
Because of me?
Yeah, I couldn't concentrate. Not with you sitting right in front of me. I kept looking at your hair and...
Oh, Ludlow!
I drew her closer and we kept on dancing. Sometimes I can still smell the perfume she was wearing. It was like holding a whole bunch of lilacs. After that, we started going steady. I got a job in a hardware store and went to night school to learn bookkeeping. And when they made me assistant bookkeeper at Johnson's Lumber Company, we were married. She was the one who proposed. If she'd have waited for me, I'd still be trying to get up the courage.
The condemned man lay sprawled on the creaking cot. It was as though the pain of remembering was draining his last bit of strength. But Holiday kept probing, like a surgeon with a scalpel, hoping to ferret out the cancer.
So you got married?
Yep, a nice church wedding. All our friends were there.
And then?
There was a reception in the back garden of her aunt and uncle's home. Her mother was in a sanitarium. Been there ever since her father did what he did. Evol's aunt and uncle didn't like me much. They thought she could do a lot better. It was true, of course. She could have had almost anybody. Jess Palance was on the top of her aunt's list. His father was vice president of a bank.
But she loved you.
Yeah. The honeymoon was great. I thought it was really something, the way she fussed over me. I even let her crack my breakfast eggs and spoon feed me. When I took my showers, she asked me to leave the bathroom door open. She didn't want anything to come between us.
So when did it go sour?
I don't know. It wasn't any one thing. She used to say she hated to see me leave for work in the morning, and she could hardly wait to meet me for lunch. Every day she'd go to all the bother of taking the bus downtown just to be sure I ate right. We'd go to a health food cafeteria. She'd take one tray for the both of us. Cozier that way, she'd said.
Darling, doesn't that carrot salad look divine?
Looks like carrot salad. And I can't stand it, especially with coconut and marshmallows.
Carrots are good for you. They're chock full of vitamin A.
I have a great idea. Let's live dangerously and eat something sinful.
I love it when you're facetious, darling. Here, take some sprouts.
I hate sprouts.
Nonsense. It's the best thing in the world for you. Here, would you like some soybean loaf?
Would it do any good to say no?
No, darling. You're so funny.
Hey, there's something I want. Chocolate pudding.
Carob, dear, but it must be left over. They had it yesterday. Take the prune whip.
No! No prune whip. Anything but prune whip.
What'd you say, dear?
Not a thing. I didn't say a thing.
While you're paying, I'll run and get that nice table over by the window.
Sure.
Isn't this a lovely table?
Absolutely.
How was your morning, honey?
Okay. Pete wanted me to have lunch with him.
Oh, he could have joined us.
Here? You couldn't pull him in here with a tractor. He's strictly a hamburgers and beer man.
No, well, you must insist he come sometime. He should learn to eat right.
I'll tell him you said so.
His wife should take better care of him.
He's not married.
Well, someday he'll meet a real nice girl and then all his troubles will be over. Why don't you ask him for dinner? And I'll invite Mabel Quigley.
He's got a girlfriend. Anyway, you don't want to waste your elegant cooking on him. Why, he wouldn't appreciate it.
Darling, don't talk with your mouth full. Don't put so much margarine on your roll.
She did cook real elegant, believe me. Lunch out was soybeans and sprouts, but dinner at home was gourmet all the way.
She made all kinds of fancy things. Vichy sauce and all that. She wouldn't ever just slap a big juicy steak on the pan. When I'd tell her that was all she had to do to make me happy, she'd smile her soft, understanding smile and say she liked to fuss over me.
A most unusual woman.
Taking care of me was her mission in life. If I had to work late, she'd phone every half hour to warn me not to get overtired. The slightest cold, and I'd be put to bed with a vaporizer, heating pad, and hot lemonade. And on Valentine's Day, she... Do you know what she did one Valentine's Day? Maybe that's what did it.
Love, who can fathom its many guises or control its power? Like all power, love has the capacity to heal and also to wound. What was it Evol did to Ludlow on that Valentine's Day, the day of love? To find out, we go to the offices of Hunter and Company Builders, where Ludlow had a desk in a very large room. A messenger boy is walking towards Ludlow's desk.
Are you Mr. Ludlow Case?
Right.
I got something for you.
Okay, where is it?
It's downstairs. See, it's kind of big, so I didn't want to lug it up here until I was sure. The address was blurred.
So what is it?
It's a Valentine, sir. I'll be right back.
You getting a Valentine, Lud?
I'm afraid so.
Hey, I got one this morning. Overdrawn bank statement.
I have a feeling mine will be worse.
Here you are, sir. Would you just sign for it, please?
Well, would you look at that, eh? That's as big as I am. A big red satin heart. Hey, what's the ribbon say? Evie loves Lud.
Aw, ain't that the bits?
Get that thing out of here.
Well, you haven't seen it all, sir. See, there's this round box in the center, you see? And you're supposed to open it?
I've seen enough.
But that's the main attraction. You see, you open the box and then a Cupid doll springs out.
A Cupid doll?
Yeah, and she talks, too. Here, I'll do it for you.
Kissy poo, kissy poo, I love you, kissy poo.
Are you going to get that thing out of here, or do I have to smash it?
Yes, sir. Right away. I'm just doing my job. I'm sorry about that, sir.
Kissy poo, I love you.
Well, Holiday, your wife ever do a thing like that?
Hardly. Did you talk to her? Did you try to get her to listen to reason?
Are you kidding? I tried everything. She'd listen, she'd agree with everything I said, and then she'd go right along the same as always. In desperation, I got the idea that maybe if somebody else talked to her, a professional, you know, maybe even a psychiatrist.
Sounds like a good idea.
Well, of course, I couldn't come right out and say I thought there was something wrong with her. I had to make her believe I was the one that needed a head doctor.
And how'd you do that?
Well, I'd been having the same kind of dream almost every night. I'd be at a phone booth, and it would be very important that I call Evie. But no matter what I did, I couldn't get her. I'd dial, and nothing would happen. I'd keep putting dimes in and dialing and dialing, and then I'd wake up in a cold sweat.
And what did the psychiatrist say?
Oh, he said it was a sign of frustration. But I told Evie I was worried and was going to see this doctor and wanted her to come along.
And she went with you?
Oh, sure. She couldn't wait. Of course, I saw him myself the day before, even though I had to pay extra.
This evening's broadcast of Shh Productions Vintage Radio Hour is brought to you in part by Dutch Creek Winery, located in the beautiful, verdant countryside of Athens, Ohio. Visit their new tasting room located in the hills of southeastern Ohio and stop in to enjoy their amazing artisanal small batch mead, ciders, and fruit wines, the best Athens has to offer. Spend a relaxing afternoon in their tasting room or newly enclosed patio. A warm place to relax and enjoy your wine selection, expertly paired with a house-made snack or a charcuterie tray. And don't forget to ask for their wines at your favorite local retailer. They also ship. Visit them at 12157 State Route 690, just 8 miles outside Athens, Ohio. On their website at dutchcreekwinery.com, Facebook, or Instagram for more information about their events and current offerings. And now, back to our feature presentation.
I had to explain the whole situation, that he was to pretend I was the patient, but that what I really wanted was to see if there was something he could do about her. His name was Roselle, Dr. Leon Roselle, and he had a foreign kind of accent that sounded put on to me.
Ah, dear people, come in, come in. Sit, sit, sit. I'll be with you in there in a moment. Ah, here it is. Ah, yes, of course. Case, Monsieur and Madame Case. Monsieur's having dreams, no?
Yes, I'm always dialing this phone and...
Dreaming is not too serious. Anything else bother you?
Well, you know, Doc, like I said when I made the appointment, my wife, Evie, she came along.
Yes, yes, of course.
But whatever it is, I want to help Ludlow see it through.
Oh, most commendable indeed. Tell me, madame, are you and your husband, you have a good relationship?
Oh, our relationship couldn't be better. We love each other as much now as the day we were married. Maybe more.
No complaints?
Complaints about Lud? Every day I thank the good Lord for sending him to me. He's my whole world.
Oh, so, well then, perhaps he should not be your whole world. Perhaps he should...
Oh, I'm sure your wife feels the same.
My wife? Oh, my wife. Well, what can I say?
Are you all right, Dr. Roselle? You look so tired.
Tired? Oh.
Oh, you poor man. You're exhausted.
Oh.
And no wonder, listening to people's troubles all day long.
Day after day.
Oh, you should take a vacation.
How can I? Appointments, appointments, nothing but appointments. Paranoics, psychopaths, manic depressives, all needing me. They're draining me. Oh, they're draining my life's blood.
Oh, what you should do is quit. Go into another line of work.
How can I quit? How else can I make so much? I am up to my beard in debt. My wife, she throws money around like, how you say, like it is Kleenex.
Oh, I wish I could help.
Oh, nobody helps a psychiatrist. Nobody thinks we have problems.
You must calm down now. Do not excite yourself. Just relax. Just relax and let me massage the back of your neck.
Oh, Madame Case.
Oh, call me Evie. In just a minute, you'll feel much better. You'll see.
Ah, Madame Evie.
My, all the muscles back here are so tight.
Oh, that feels so good. Ah, you have the touch. Definitely. Oh, you have the touch.
No, about your wife. You must be firm, very firm. She'll respect you for it.
She will?
Of course. Now, I'll tell you what you must do. You must tell her that the next time she buys anything without asking you, you will shave off all her hair.
Oh? Oh. You think it will work?
I guarantee it, Dr. Roselle.
Call me Leon.
Hey, stop kissing my wife!
Oh, only on the cheek. What man could resist this feminine delight? Oh, you're so fortunate, Monsieur Case. I only hope you realize how fortunate you are.
Oh, I'm sure he does. But what about those awful dreams he's been having, Dr. Lee?
Well, so he dreams. Everybody dreams. Not to worry, dear lady. And you, Monsieur Case, you'll take a nice long walk after dinner. Then no more telephones. Stop working in your dreams, eh?
Oh, Ludlow, isn't that wonderful? All you need is more exercise.
Great, just great.
Oh, Madame Evie, will you please wait in the outer office, dear lady? I must have a moment with your husband.
Goodbye, and merci.
Merci to you. I must kiss your hand. With your permission, of course.
Go ahead.
Au revoir.
Doctor, you didn't even...
You are frustrated? With a wife like that, you are frustrated? Get out of here. You are crazy!
What a fiasco.
You know, I thought maybe I was crazy. Crazy, anyway, to pay $50 an hour to be told I was. I just gave up, went along as best I could. Then she did something else, and I decided to have it out with her once and for all. That night, I came home, washed up, and went into the kitchen. Listen, Evie, I have to talk to you seriously.
Oh, good, but not now, darling. I'm fixing dinner. Escargot au bourguignon.
Yahoo on fancy schmancy. Couldn't we ever just have hot dogs?
You're overweight as it is, honey.
But now, look here.
I know, dear. You're being considerate. You are trying to save me work, but I enjoy doing it for you.
I am not being considerate. I am trying to talk to you. Evie, I'm not a baby. I'm your husband.
Of course you are, dear. What a silly thing to say.
Well, you treat me like a child. You embarrass me.
Well, I would never do that.
I know you don't mean to, but you just don't seem to realize how humiliating...
Hand me that big spoon, will you, darling? You want a little taste now?
No, I don't want a little taste now. I want you to listen to me. Evie, I am begging you. I'm pleading with you. I am about at the end of my rope. Now you've got to listen to me.
I'm listening, dear. I wouldn't humiliate you for the world.
Well, you do it all the time. And you did it again this afternoon, when you brought my galoshes to the office.
But it was raining.
Drizzling! I'm a grown man, Evie. I have a right to get my feet wet if I want to.
Oh, but you don't want to, do you?
Yes, I do. I want to get my feet wet.
Now you are being childish.
No, you are being childish if you can't see what's wrong with bringing my galoshes to the office. If you can't or won't see that, you're hopeless. You're hopeless, and I can't take it anymore. I'm leaving.
Dinner will be ready in 5 minutes.
Well, enjoy it. I'm going out for a hamburger with French fried onions. And then I'm going to a hotel for the night. And in the morning, I'm going to see a divorce lawyer.
If you're really running away from home, you'd better have dinner first.
Goodbye, Evol.
You actually walked out on her?
Yeah. But I went back. I had the hamburger and the onions, and then I dropped in at a drugstore from some antacid tablets. I was within a couple blocks of our house when I heard the siren. Somehow I knew the siren was for Evol. I got this dank feeling, like my gut was just a big hole and I was being sucked into it. By the time I got to the house, they were carrying her out. I grabbed hold of one of the medics. He told me she'd taken a whole bottle of sleeping pills. I hadn't tried to understand her. She'd lost her mother and father when she was a kid, and I guess she was scared she'd lose me too. And then one of the doctors came to tell me she'd be okay. He looked at me like I was some kind of villain.
Mr. Case?
That's right. How is she, Doc? Is she all right?
Well, fortunately, the ambulance got to her in time. You're a very lucky man, Mr. Case.
Oh, yeah, I'll say.
Your wife is a wonderful person. Her first thought was to protect you. The moment she regained consciousness, she said you were in no way to blame for what happened.
Well, we had just...
It's just fortunate that someone called. A neighbor, perhaps? You'll want to thank whoever it was.
Oh, sure, sure. Can I see Evie now?
Mm-hmm. For a moment.
Hi, Evie.
I'm sorry, lad.
You're sorry? It's all my fault.
No, it's mine. You were right. And I promise you I'll try. I'll try not to love you so much.
Well, that just tore me apart. What do you do with a woman like that? When we got home, she told me again she understood what I'd been trying to say and that things would be different. But they never were. I just tried to accept it as best I could. She just didn't have it in her to change.
Well, we all have our hang-ups.
I guess so. Maybe if I hadn't gone on the camping trip. But oh, Lord, how I wanted to go! I can't remember ever wanting anything so much. There were 10 of us, guys I used to pal around with in high school. Every year, we'd go up to the mountains for a weekend. But I hadn't gone with them since I was married, because Evie was afraid I'd get snake bite or poison ivy or something. That year, though, Brad, my buddy, kept insisting. One night, he dropped by the house unannounced to try to talk me into it. Maybe if he hadn't, everything would have been different.
Some more mint frappe, Brad?
Don't mind if I do. Hey, this is great. Old Lud here sure hit the jackpot when he got you.
Well, I'm the lucky one to have him.
Now, Evie.
I sure wish you'd reconsider, Lud, and come along. You know, we always used to call ourselves the Terrible Ten. But without you, we're just the Nasty Nine.
Why don't you go with them, darling?
What? What'd you say, Evie?
Why don't you go on the camping trip with your friends? It would be a nice change of pace for you. You've been working so hard.
But I didn't think you...
I know you're worried about leaving me, but I'll be just fine. I'll wash my hair and hem up those curtains, and first thing I know, you'll be back.
Do you mean it?
Well, sure she means it. Like my Alice. Can't wait to get rid of me for a couple of days.
I promise. All the doors and windows locked at night, so I'll be perfectly safe.
Sounds like she's trying to change.
Yeah? She sent me off with a brave smile and the world's largest first aid kit. Well, golly, that was a beautiful spot. Only a couple hours from town. I hadn't felt so good, so relaxed in I don't know when. The air was crisp and you could smell the pine trees and I felt, well, how'd you say it? Attuned. Attuned to the guys and the earth and the stars and...
It sounds great.
We were sitting around the fire that first night, singing and laughing and...
Anybody got a hot dog or anything? I could use another
I'd like
dog
another one. Give me one.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Guys. Okay. Therapy time. Our annual Tell Your Pals What's Bugging You session. Now, here's where the Terrible Ten let it all hang out. Come on, Lud, you go first. It's only fair, seeing you miss so many.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you fellas, but right now, nothing's bothering me. Right now, I'm the happiest guy in the whole world.
Hey, what do you mean coming up here happy and making us all look bad?
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, I got something to gripe about. My boss. You want to hear what he did to me?
Oh, don't answer that, guys.
Come on.
Anyway, so he brings this punk kid in, tells me I should teach him how to run the repair department. I tell him, you want your son to run the repair department, that's fine. But count me out. I tell him, I'm not teaching nobody how to put me out of work.
Hey, atta boy, Frank.
Yeah, man.
Anyway, but he says, hey, wait a minute. He's not putting me out of work. He doesn't really want Junior to run the place. He just wants him to think he's running it. Yeah, it seems the kid can't hold a job and the boss figured it's because...
Hey, look out! There's a car coming right at us!
Whoa, look out!
Get out of the way!
The hell?
Right through the tent! Holy mackerel, what a driver!
Oh, you guys, are you okay? Looks like my car! My God, it is my car! Evie, is that you? What are you doing here? What's the matter? What's wrong?
Ludlow?
Evie, come on, get out of the car!
Are you all right?
Oh, dear. Did I hurt anything?
Well, you just totaled our tent, that's all, besides scaring the pants off of us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Evie, what is it? Is it my dad? Did he have another attack?
No, no, dear, your daddy's okay. And even if he weren't, I wouldn't come up here and ruin your weekend by telling you.
Well, what happened?
Can you put the tent back up, boys? Will it be all right?
We'll try.
Yeah, don't worry, it'll be okay.
For God's sake, are you gonna tell me what you're doing here?
Oh, I just came to bring you something you forgot.
What did I forget?
It's all right, dear, I brought them here. You know you have to take your vitamins.
Well, a doll like that. I couldn't let her drive back all alone, now could I?
Well, I guess not.
It was about 2 a.m. when we got home. Evie said she'd fix me a nice hot cup of milk. Then she came over, raised her lips for a kiss. I don't remember doing it. I don't remember my hands at her throat or her body going limp. I don't remember anything except the kind of wondrous sense of freedom.
I'm pleading with you, Holiday. I'm begging you. Don't let him strap me into that electric chair. I want to live. I want to live as long as possible. I can't die. Not yet.
Well, you still haven't told me. What made you change your mind?
She came to me last night. Evol. She stood right there. Right where you're standing. I could see her. She spoke to me. She said, I forgive you, my dear. She said, I love you. I'm waiting for you. Oh, don't let me die! Don't let me die!
Thank you to our wonderful performers, our amazing production manager, Barb Shoulders, and support from Nick Martin, our sponsor, Dutch Creek Winery, and to you, our audience. We hope you enjoyed the show. So tune back in and shh.